Hi guys.
Welcome to the 155th.
Sorry.
Welcome to the 155th.
Oh, it just sounds wrong.
Okay, welcome to the 155th episode of Up There and One. My name is Olivia.
My name is Danielle.
Thank you to everyone that listened last week and to everyone that's tuning in again this week. We appreciate it. We know that we're doing our church hurt series and this is episode 3. Very, 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 I'm not even going to apologise, but obviously I was about to say I'm very, very sorry, but I'm not going to apologise for crying on last week's episode because it was very emotional and it was very a sensitive topic. And I just want to thank my brother for speaking and sharing about his experience. It was a lot, it was deep, and we had a lot of messages from a lot of people, a lot of positive messages, which was good. But yeah, we hope that everybody learned something, especially a certain group of people. But this episode, just a slight quick introduction before we get into the episode, and then we get into this episode 3 for Church Hurt. We have my university friend who I met when I was in second year, so that's 2014. John, I'm not gonna say your surname because I don't need to be bait you out like that. So John, I was about to say your full name, sorry. So John is joining us. Do you want to say hi to everyone? No, everyone? Did I say hi to everyone, John?
Hi everyone.
Yeah, so he is joining us for this episode to speak specifically on the grace message, once saved, always saved. You know, yes. As Christians, once we give our lives to God, are we completely saved? And is that it? And whether or not, you know, sin is involved in the situations of being a Christian, or yeah, it will get very spiritual and biblical because John is a pastor. No, he's not an actual pastor. I just like to call him pastor. He's not.
Definitely not.
He could be one day. Anyway. So speak about what we normally speak about, you know, because we've been watching Insecure and it's the final season. What do you think about this week's episode? Someone made a really good point to me, actually, a colleague of mine. She said that for once, it's nice to see a pretty beautiful man like Nathan be very unstable. And I was like,
not the pretty privilege not working.
Yeah, that's what she was in.
And that's actually true, to be fair.
Because normally, you know, when you see a character in a TV show and they've got certain types of issues, they're not necessarily always like the popular, pretty.
The pretty boy. And Nathan is the pretty boy, 100%. Yeah. I'm just trying, because I watched 2 episodes today, I'm like, wait, which one is which again? I'm getting, what's his name, out of my head?
Lawrence Daniel.
Out of my head and all that kind of stuff, focusing on Nathan. Nathan is very messy.
But Issa and him had the beautiful...
I really enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it.
I did. Because the thing is, I've always been...
Hopefully it'll be me before the end of 2022.
In Jesus' name, amen.
And John's looking at me like...
What she said, and I agree. I enjoyed it because I've always been lucky team Nathan. I know everyone's team Lawrence and I'm always like, I really like
him. I think team Lawrence is like,
I'm out of team Lawrence. Like, he's got a child.
Somebody else.
He's got a child. We have to let that one go. I'm really, really sorry. We're not doing that. This episode is really...
weird.
It was weird.
Yeah. Because it was like certain issues like surrounding Nathan and same with his cousin.
Because when Nathan's cousin came with his wife, I thought, wait a minute, has Nathan got with a wife? Because when he spoke, I was like, Nathan, you're such a charm. I was like, oh man. But then when it transpired, actually, no, he's like, oh, she doesn't like me. And I was like, oh, right, okay, why would she
like
him?
But it seemed like that.
It did. The way that they spoke to each other was like, something weird's happened before.
But it just shows that, obviously, do you think it's wrong that for those that haven't watched episodes, this is going to be a spoiler. But do you think it's wrong that the cousin, like, kicked him out?
I don't think it's necessarily wrong if he was making them feel like... if he was like... because he said, oh, you're leaving the door open, they've got kids like, yeah, whatever. I think it was wrong that he hid behind his wife and made it seem like it was his wife who had a problem with Nathan, when actually it was him who was the one who made the decision. But I don't know. But then he says... I'm sure he said to him, why didn't you open up to your cousin about, like, your... I don't know, whatever... I can't remember what condition that he's had, but he said last season that he's got something. Yeah, but I don't think he told them that. It's just really, I don't know. It was just weird. It's weird how they were all out and then there was an earthquake and then they went to the club and Jason Derulo. I was thinking, why was Jason Derulo a thing in this episode?
The only song that I ever liked from Jason Derulo was I'm Riding Solo.
really, song really upsets me.
That was decent. I can't remember anything else.
I just cut out with him. But yeah, I like the episode. I like the fact that Nathan and Issa like got together. What I didn't understand about the episode is what was happening with the guy who Issa, the guy, Kofi, who Issa represented. So, and he was like, what was he doing? Was he trolling?
He was trolling her on social because obviously the previous event that they were going to do, obviously they collaborated in it for that show. And whoever is higher up in terms of management for that show kind of said to Issa, he needs to strip back as an artist. There's certain things he needs to take out in it. So he didn't. So then I think obviously he felt held back by Issa and Issa was on his side. And then I don't know if Issa was in another event, but then he was trolling her on social, which I didn't like because Kofi...
I know, but then that makes you think that he's going to be in another... He's going to come back to another episode, which would be good.
He can because he's beautiful.
He is God. I'm sorry. Kofi, I feel like I say this every single time.
He's one of the best looking men I think I've ever seen in my life.
He's actually beautiful.
Like, I don't understand how someone could look like that.
Do you know what? But Issa really does come through with it. I can't say that.
With the beautiful
with the men. She really does give us a treat every single week and she really didn't disappoint this week. I'm trying to think what else happened. Molly and friends.
Molly's living her best life.
She's doing the most.
Like a haircut. I think she looks good.
Sometimes I like it and then some angles I'm like...
No. I like it. Did you like Kelly crying with the girl? Having a soul Sunday, one to one. I actually really like that.
I like that, but it's because I love Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly, I feel like someone was saying that they want people or characters like her to have more of a role.
In shows like this, yeah.
But obviously, it's Insecure, it is what it is. It is a good show and Issa's done a fantastic job, you know. Everyone's not always going to get what they want. Obviously, there's room for development all the time. So, it's lit.
It was nice. Everyone looked nice. Everyone looked cute.
Everyone looked beautiful.
As usual. It's just the aesthetic for me.
I don't want to be friends either. This is why people just need to be honest.
Yeah, they do.
Just be honest. Just say what you want. She said, I don't want to be friends. He said, I want to be friends either. And then now...
But you know what? She was confused by him and he also confused me because when she like got to the beach and she was being really awkward, I thought, oh my God, does he hate her? Because he's moving like, yeah, you really make me feel uncomfortable. But I didn't realise that he likes her.
Miscommunication can cause you to not actually
So I'm glad that they both said, they were both honest in the end because I was confused and I thought, wow, what's Nathan's problem? Has he moved on or what's his issue? But he actually liked her. Men are so confusing, I'm so sorry.
Men are very confusing.
You're on mute, sir.
You're on mute. see, men are very...
Wow, I'm new to the game. I'm new to the game.
Men are not confusing.
No, at all. Listen, girls are an equation that men have to try and figure out for the entirety of their life. So we're the simple ones, right? And you guys are an equation we have to try and figure out for the rest of our lives.
Honestly, ask any
man. We say something simple, straightforward.
No, but you don't, though. I think a lot of men don't actually know what they want.
They don't know what they want. They never communicate clearly. They're mad.
No, but if a girl says, I'm okay, that could mean give me some time. That could mean I'm not okay, but you should know. But if a guy says, I'm not okay, it means I'm not okay. That's if he says, I'm okay, it means I'm okay. Most of the time, we're very clear with what we're saying.
You're going based on one thing that girls do when they say they're okay, but they're not okay.
There are many other things, but you know.
I hear that, but it's likewise with men too. Like the confusion comes in for us when they don't necessarily know what they want and they're not clear about what they want. Or I think I read something or I listened to something on TikTok in terms of like...
Not TikTok.
They'll say that they like you and they want to date you, but they actually don't tell you what type of relationship they want with you. So that's why sometimes men cheat, or that's why sometimes people cheat, because they don't actually really say what actual relationship they actually want to have. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is
why people need to actually say what their intentions are. That would be nice, because sometimes it's very confusing. Like, I'm sorry, Nathan, this episode confused me. How at the beginning, then how at the end? I just thought, what? I can't read between the lines, so that's why.
Yeah. Discussion, this is why people need to talk. Yeah. But men are confusing. Moving on swiftly to talk about more black stuff. Obviously, Channel 4 has a really amazing show called Unapologetic, which is talking about all things to do with like black culture.
That Livia worked on.
That I worked on. In an unapologetic way. And Yinka Bikini and ZZ Mills are the hosts, and they have certain guests that come on. Mm-hmm. And they talk and have several discussions with these guests. And White Yardie. Let me just get up his actual. I think his name is Harry Gregory. He was a guest on one of the recent episodes, I think episode 2 of Unapologetic. Mm. He's a Jamaican man, or he considers himself to be a Jamaican man. But he's white, but he was born, he was, huh?
Yeah, very white.
Very white, like white. But when obviously when you hear him speak, you're like, yeah, he's a Yardie.
Yeah.
But he, so he, the, what he said, because he was being questioned about whether or not he considers himself to be Jamaican and why he considers himself to be Jamaican, he explained that his mother, trigger warning if what I'm saying triggers anybody, his mother had a miscarriage before she was pregnant with him. And so then, this is when they were in Jamaica. So then when she was pregnant with him, she, I think from what he said, she's come to the UK, had him 3 months. He's, well, they were there for 3 months and then they've flown back to Jamaica. And he's then grown up in Jamaica. So obviously all he's known from the age of 3 months is being Jamaican. So the reason why there's a lot of backlash around the show is because the guests on it, certain journalists, I'm not even going to name because I can't be bothered, they were basically asking him why he considers himself to be a Jamaican man and when did he realise that he was Jamaican? And obviously he was like, I didn't wake up when I was 5 or 10 and think, okay, now I'm Jamaican. So then now there's conversations about obviously how he was treated. I think certain other guests have got involved and there's like arguments that are happening and people not understand the difference between nationality, ethnicity and race.
It's that simple though. Like they shouldn't have been asking him when did he consider himself to be Jamaican. He's literally is Jamaican because he's been brought up there the same way that we're British because we're brought up in England. But the issue that people have is because they think Jamaica equals whiteness, even though it equals blackness, even though it doesn't. Obviously, the majority of people there are black. But because they're getting them all confused, and then you're asking someone who is a certain nationality, how they identify as that. But obviously, he's not... It's a hard one because when I saw it, I was like, yeah, you guys shouldn't have done that. It makes no sense. Obviously, he is Jamaican, but he's white. If he was saying, I'm black, then I'd be like, let's get onto him because obviously he's not black.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Or if he's like, I'm blacker than you guys, and then that would be stupid because you're not black. You're just Jamaican by nationality. Obviously, ethnicity-wise, he's not Jamaican.
No, he's white.
His mum's English. Mm-hmm. He's of English lineage, whatever. He's not actually Jamaican, like blood, whatever you want to say. He's been brought up there, which makes sense. And obviously, there's been a massive backlash. And initially, I was like, yeah, you guys, they shouldn't have been questioning him like that. Then I sat back and I thought about it and I thought, but you know what? We're going a bit too hard. And the reason why we're going a bit too hard is because obviously, there are white people in Jamaica. There are all sorts of races in Jamaica, but predominantly they are black people. Obviously, this man is Jamaican, but his name is White Yardie, so you're making a thing of the fact that you're a white Jamaican. Mm-hmm. If he was a black man, you couldn't be called Black Yardie because no one would care about that because you expect Jamaican people to be black. So obviously, you're monetizing on the fact that you're a white man from Jamaica. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I was like, if we need to stop going so hard now because you know something, it's not every day defend the whiteness. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get what people are saying, but I was just like, we need to scale it back now because now we're getting a bit too stupid with it. Like, I get why the journalist said what they said. I get what they were trying to do, but they were wrong because we're not talking about blackness.
No.
In the same breath, though, we do have to acknowledge the fact that if this was a black man, he wouldn't be getting the recognition... or whatever that White Yardie is getting because he is a white Yardie. So it's like a balanced thing. I don't know.
I think you really make a very good point. I didn't think of it in that way. I just thought of it from speaking to actually certain people from our old church that, remember, I'm not going to name his name, but there was a certain man that used to go to our church. And obviously when you heard him speak, you thought, wow, he's a Yardie straight away. But actually he was born here. Do you remember? Tall guy. He was born here. But when he heard him speak, you were like...
Don't kill me, please. I just realised who you meant.
Okay, I agree in terms of him monetizing off the whole idea of being a white Jamaican man. That's really mad. But obviously, that's a brand that he has. And that's a brand that he's choosing to use, etc. to get social media currency or social currency. But do you think that... If he was a black man, would we wouldn't still be having this conversation, or do you think we would?
No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't be questioning his Jamaicanness if he was a black man, because he's black.
That's where I think the issue is for me.
The thing is, we wouldn't be having the conversation because he wouldn't be in this position in the first place. Mm. He wouldn't be a thing, because why would anyone care? You can't make a name off yourself and being a black yardie, can you? Yeah. So that's the issue. You're in this position because of your whiteness, and because we as black people, I don't know what it is, when white people do black things, or if a white person is associated with something black, it's like mind-boggling to us.
Yeah.
Like, there's been this before where there's been a white man with a Jamaican accent that went viral because people were like, what the heck, is this real, blah, blah. It's like, we're black, and we're in this country. And we're literally, what percentage of black people are in this country?
Like,
next to nothing. Yeah. Now, I call myself a black, British, whatever. Am I going to be popping? No. Is anyone going to care?
Yeah.
No, nobody, they won't.
Okay, but no, yeah,
they won't give a heck.
Right. Nobody cares because we're black.
Exactly, but we're always, but, you know, like I said, when white people do something, it's always like, oh, it's a commodity. It's not a big deal. Like, same way there was a white girl, what'd she call herself? Like, Yoruba princess or something like this, a white. And I think, now,
Sis,
but if she's brought up in Nigeria, then what can anyone say to her? But still, but you're making money off the fact that you're white from this place. It's too much.
The issue is the fact that they make money off it, but
you're making it a thing.
Yeah. But then it's like, are we who we are as our nationality because of where we're born? So like if we move to...
What are we?
Like, see,
imagine if we were born in China. No, if we were brought up in China, would you say you're Chinese? I'm not Chinese.
Even though I was born here.
Imagine you were born here, but then you've been brought up in China.
But right? All I would know would be Chinese.
But are you Chinese?
No, you're Chinese nationally. But I wouldn't be Chinese.
But ethnicity-wise, you're not Chinese.
I wouldn't be that collective, would I? Because they'll see my skin and they'd be like, what?
That's what I mean. Okay. So it's like you are, and at the same time, you also... Yeah. Not, but that's the whole thing of what you said. Race, ethnicity, nationality.
It's all completely different. And I think what needs to happen is everybody needs to educate themselves.
We need a lesson on what they are.
Everybody needs to educate themselves about it, because I don't think people actually know what it means and what it is.
No, they don't understand it. That's why we say, like, we could not say we're English. You know, like on a form you fill out and it says black British, then it says Caribbean, African underneath it. It doesn't say black English.
No.
You know why? Because English is an ethnicity. We're not English.
No, exactly.
We're British.
But people don't.
Nationally.
Yeah.
Nationality-wise. Do you know what I mean? And obviously black.
No, I definitely get that, because being like the fact that I came here when I was 7, for a long time, it was difficult for me to call myself.
Wait a second. Wait! Hold the phone. You weren't born here.
No, I wasn't born in the UK.
Wait. Sorry, guys. I just want to say, I never knew that you weren't born here.
No.
All of you lot then were born in... No, I'm not going to name friends. I didn't know that you were not born here.
No, I was born in Niger.
So you're a Niger boy.
Yeah. But the thing is, for a long time, I found it difficult to call myself British, because the Nigerian side was still so strong, because obviously I... first 7 years of my life raised in Nigeria, so I always say I'm Nigerian. Even now, when people ask me, like, nationality wise where are you from, I'm like, depends who I'm speaking to. To be honest, I'm like, I'm British sometimes, because obviously if you hear the British accent, you're gonna be thinking, oh, this is a British guy. But as soon as, you know, I'm around my some,
we know
Nigerian people, you know.
People. It just comes out.
Exactly. I would say, I'm a Nigerian, which means I'm a Nigerian child, you get me? So it can be difficult, because where you're raised can really, like, shape how you behave. And a lot of the time, people associate you with that, like the white yardy guy. I'm sure he speaks like a Jamaican. So people think of him as Jamaican because of the way in which he's behaving, right? But obviously, his ethnicity is white. So I don't think it shouldn't have to be a big deal. But I guess because, you know, it's so uncommon, then people are always going to be like, oh, mad.
Yeah. We rave about it, don't we? Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. We get so excited about it, don't we?
I think that's the only issue I have, is that if this was, if this was you and you was black and you was raised in China, no one would be gassed about you being from China, Chinese. Yeah, you'll be able to make it a thing, because you're not Chinese. But then you are nationality-wise, but then ethnicity-wise, you're not Chinese. Well, when white people do it, it's always like, oh, wow, you know what I mean? You're Jamaican, you're white. Okay, and what about it? It's not a big deal.
I mean, there was this, I can't remember where he was from. There's this black guy in Korea that became very famous for the fact that he was a black guy who could speak Korean.
But I've seen videos of like even people that black Japanese people, etc. Mm-hmm. But it's because it's not with a, it's not necessarily with the whole positive thing of them being Japanese.
No, it does seem positive sometimes because you know their language is really difficult to understand and to learn.
Yes.
So sometimes they're really shocked to like the how fluent some of these like black Koreans or black Japanese people are. The problem with the Japanese one is that some of them are actually born in Japan. They are Japanese. Half of them.
Yeah.
One of their parents is Japanese. So it's actually worse for them to be considered as other. But mm-hmm. obviously some of the ones where they come in, you know, maybe they were 3, 4, 5, whatever, then they do get some, well, the one I saw, he got a lot of fame because, you know, black guy that can speak Korean.
He could speak Korean.
And, you know, his shop is doing well. Like he has a like some smoothie shop in Korea. And because of who he is, people go there. Do you get me? So he's doing well for himself.
There's anomalies, isn't it? No.
That's interesting. That's good. If, listen, as long as we can do it the same way, I'm fine.
As long as you make a profit.
As long as we can do it. Because it's like I said, no one cares about black British. No one gives a heck. And there's not many of us here, realistically, if we actually think about it.
Yeah.
There's actually not.
Well, but there's anomalies, it's late. Well, tune into the episodes, guys, of Unapologetic. They discussed some wild stuff. I think they had a lot.
I think it's really good.
I know certain guests that are going to be on the next episode, but I can't see him.
Not the surprises, but,
yeah, it's a very sticky one and they speak about a lot. But moving swiftly on, because obviously the latter half of our conversation will be about, will be episode 3 of our Church Hurt series. Mm. We're going to our favourite part, which is Tweets of the Week.
It's not okay.
Okay, so my tweet is from @_Stan with 4 N's, and he said, well, his caption said "On God LMAO," and the reason why is because the picture says, so someone screenshotted a picture of a girl. She's like in a bikini, but you can't see it fully. Don't worry, John. You can't see the full body. And someone said, "Who's she?" And then, someone replied to somebody, said, "Who's she?" And then the person replied and said, "I don't know." And then, excuse my language, the other person said, "Nigga, you follow her." And then the person said, "Nigga, you follow Vibes Cartel, you know him."
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye.
John was laughing. It's guys. John didn't laugh at that.
But, it's enough. My tweet.
Okay, I'm going to say this now. I want you to see what Danny's tweet is. And Danny's tweet is ridiculous, right? You know what you need to do? Show John. Because I want to see his reaction to it. Because this is ridiculous.
So the guy, the caption is, "Counting my days at this job."
Oh. Is that his mouth on the table?
This
I'm so sorry. Basically, it's a picture of a kid and he's got his mouth, when I say full grip on the table. Like full grip.
And
it's the such reason a grip, why I thought it was his chin for a second. Like,
this is what I mean.
Please don't, because it's bringing back fun memories.
Johnson, the reason why me and Danny laugh at that is because basically, Liz, I'm gonna tell a little story. We were in Starbucks, right? Going to visit my brother, right?
We were.
And we were just talking, getting our coffees and all of that. And then we were by the window. And on the other side of the window, I don't know why God allowed us to see at the same time, but God allowed us to see at the same time. This individual literally pushed the table back and he went and bit the whole table. As in, the man had his full mouth. I'm talking about a Starbucks table in the train station, which you know is probably not going to be clean, and underneath it is probably dirt. He literally gripped with the table his mouth. And me and Danny were just there like, as in he fully locked his jaw and stayed there for ages on the table.
And no one will ever understand that.
This is what I mean. It annoys you because nobody will ever be able to see what we saw.
No.
And you know when an image stays in your head forever? That is something
I'll never forget that.
He actually bit the table. He bit the table. And the thing is, I saw the guy again and I was just like, I can't believe you did that. But anyway. Anyway, that was our piece of the
week. That's why we had to do that one, because respectfully, it brought back memories that really you all need to know about.
Episode 3, here we go. Church Hurt. So for this episode, I really, really, really just want to say I deeply, deeply appreciate John being on this because it was really, really hard and difficult to find someone to be a part of this episode. But my good friend is on this because he has a wealth of understanding of the Bible and knowledge, and he's also Christian. So I very much appreciate him being on this episode. We are going to specifically speak about the grace message, once saved, always saved, which is a massive Christian debate, I think.
It is.
Because I feel like there's multiple perspectives and everybody has a difference of opinion. I guess nobody will know until they meet Jesus Christ. But then even me saying that, people get upset about that. But I'm going to... The reason why we've asked John to join us on this episode is because a certain institution that we used to go to, there was a lot of, I think, confusion and misunderstanding about being saved as Christians. So we're going to delve into what it means to be saved, what grace is, understanding sin and what sin sends you to hell and the idea of hell, how we overcome sin, will God always love us, and does God love everybody? It can be quite deep, and obviously we don't want to hold John for too long because obviously, you know, people have lives to live. But we're going to try and touch on each point. There's questions and probably things that me and Danny want to talk about.
Yeah.
And obviously there's, I'm not saying John is, you know, he's the gatekeeper to all answers. So he's only going to share his piece and share his opinion about, share his opinion. But I think just to say briefly that, you know, we were told a lot in where we grew up in our church that once saved, always saved was not a thing. You're not always saved. You have to work out your salvation every day. I heard that one a lot. Work out your salvation every day. It's just as if, you know, you giving your life to Christ and accepting Jesus Christ, you still had work to do. I'm not saying that you don't, but it meant you have work to do in terms of making it to heaven, and that you're not always, your days don't mean in terms of you working out your days, you're not going to be make it to heaven every single day, whatever. And then I think the other thing for us was we were told a lot that God doesn't love everybody, and that never really sat right with myself and Danny.
Never.
And we would have multiple conversations during the service, church service, and I don't care, because I know people used to look at me and Danny and be like, why are you guys talking? You're supposed to be praising and worshiping. I don't care, because we didn't actually necessarily
think what the hell's going on in here.
Because we were like, nobody's actually discussing this. Nobody's discussing it. But so the first point we'll go to is what it means to be saved.
Yeah.
And my basic knowledge is, you know, you basically accept Jesus Christ into your life. You are... I don't feel nervous. I just feel like, oh gosh, here we go. Look, John's right here listening to me talk about being a Christian. You give your life to Christ. Obviously, you accept Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Obviously, from my understanding, is having that relationship with Christ gives you access and to having a relationship with the Father, with God. And obviously, accepting what Christ did is in dying for you and denying yourself and understanding that he died for your sins. Because as I understand, we were born into sin. Accepting Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So that's my understanding of being saved. Mm-hmm. You just don't have any scriptures for that. No, John 3:16, look.
There we go.
It's it. I'm not going to quote it, but John 3:16, in Jesus' name, amen.
You know it.
But John, what does being saved mean to you?
I think you've covered most of it already, to be honest. I don't know why you say you don't know. You know.
A lot.
So, I mean, to me, it's just a summary of like the gospel, which is, you know, I'll use myself as an example. So me being an imperfect being, sinned many times, you know, lied, you know, stole, whatever, hurt people, disobedient to my parents. And then I had a mindset that enjoyed sin, right? So I believe being saved, from what I see in scripture, is twofold. So we're saved from God's judgment, in terms of the punishment in which we deserve, because God is perfectly just. So we have to pay for what we have done. But at the same time, we're also saved from our mentality of sin. So we're saved from the desire to do what God doesn't want. And actually, we're then given a desire to do what God does want and what he likes. And then that's, you know, so we're saved from a false mentality and also from a doom that is to come due to what we have done before. But yeah.
Damn.
And that's that on that. No, I'm kidding. So in terms of like the idea of doom and God's doom,
hell
scary, all the punishments, is you said that we're saved from that. So does that mean now that we're giving our life to Christ, we could never face that doom ever? Because my understanding is in terms of grace, and grace to me is like unmerited favor that you do not deserve.
Yeah.
And I have to say, God, I know in this life and this year, he has given me favor to the point where I'm just like, Jesus, I really, you know, when you look at yourself and you're like, I really don't deserve this at all. But that is who God is because of who he is. Mm. And that is that grace extended to us being saved and our salvation, this idea that even if we do commit certain sins or certain, because people wouldn't, this is the thing, there's also even debates about what is actually sin and what's considered sin, because I've heard that, you know, the only sin that will separate you from God is when you don't believe. And that means if you don't believe, that's the only sin that will allow you to enter the place of doom. Whereas everything else is down to understanding God's grace, the love, and building on the love that you have for him in your spirit and with the Holy Spirit that God has given us. So then we are then not going to commit the sins that would draw us away from him. So is that grace that we get, which is undeserved, unmerited, does that cover our salvation? And is that something that will stop us from ever, you know, from reaching doom if we commit sins? Sorry, I said a lot.
That's calm. I think there's a real unhealthy way of looking at it in both ways. There's an unhealthy way of looking at it by thinking, oh, I committed one sin, so I'm going to hell if I die at this moment. I think that's unhealthy. And then there's also an unhealthy way of thinking that I can sin and God just brushes it away. The reason why I say that is because we see parts in scripture, like in 1 John chapter 2, chapter 3, it talks about how the true Christian, the one who truly belongs to Christ, sinneth not, meaning doesn't have a continuous lifestyle of sin. So it isn't talking about sinless perfection, because some people believe you can actually be perfect upon this world and that's what you need before you can get to heaven. I don't think that's possible, because the first command is to love God with everything. I don't believe I've done that for a second. So I think the only person who has done that is Jesus Christ, hence why, you know, he's the perfect, you know, sacrifice for my sin. But at the same time, we see in scripture that there's obviously, like you mentioned before, you know, watch out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it means that there is a need to seek after being Christ-like. But I would say that I think the emphasis in scripture is about holding on to Christ, right? Holding on to Jesus and him being your strength. Because you see in like John chapter 15 to 17, sorry, I'm not going to quote them because they're not in my head, but I know the chapters. 15 to 17, Christ talks about abide in me and I will abide in you. Right? Yeah. So the thing is, I would say the only thing that draws someone, the person who truly loves Christ and truly is seeking after perfection in Christ, I think the only thing that draws you away is when you decide to run away from Christ. If you don't abide in Christ, you're no longer in that covering of grace, because Christ is our covering of grace. Yeah. He's our righteousness. So because if you're in Christ, the Spirit of God will be pricking your heart, right? Which means that when you sin, you're going to be like, ah, you're like, oh no. Like, you know, I mean, you're sorrowful for the sin. You ask for forgiveness and, you know, you try and live correctly. So it's not a lifestyle of sin. It's just, you know, when it occurs, you fix it up. But obviously, if you say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this Jesus, I don't want anything to do with God, then I believe you've left that covering and you yourself have taken yourself away from the safe state in which you were before. Yeah.
So you do agree that the only sin that will actually prevent you from seeing God, seeing Christ, reaching the kingdom is stepping away from God, as in saying, I don't believe, that's it, denouncing that you don't believe, you don't, denouncing who he is, etc.
Yeah, I think if you truly, this is the thing though, yes, if you are someone who truly has been saved in the first place, because I think when that scripture talks about watch out your salvation with fear and trembling, I think the point is that are you truly believing? Because if you read like the book of James, right, it kind of shows to people that some of you know Christ, but you don't believe or have faith in Christ. Because if you have the faith, your life should change. You know, if someone says, I'm in need of money, I'm suffering, instead of saying, ah, by God's grace, you get there. No, you will say, what can I do to help? That is the active type of faith in which we believe. So I believe in the whole concept of faith equals salvation plus the works. So the works is a result of the faith, not that
yeah,
the salvation is because of the works in which you've done. Yeah, that's,
yeah,
yeah,
completely agree. Yes, completely agree, completely agree with that.
I think that's a good way to look at it as well, because I feel like for us, we heard a lot about repentance,
oh,
a lot about hell, to the point where it can make you too fearful in a way.
Yeah.
Like you feel like something, basically it's like you feel like you're never going to be good enough.
Yeah.
And it was, I think for us, and this is speaking from our experience of where we went, was that the grace message wasn't as loud as the
hell message.
Y'all going to hell. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to hell. Hell.
I hope I see you in heaven. Because I mean, that was one thing that I remember hearing. I hope I see you.
I said, yeah.
And I said, me.
Not me, boy.
Wow.
At this point. And I think I can speak for myself, obviously me and Olivia went there together, is that it can give you kind of a warped view of sin or of trying to be close to God, because you feel like, well, I'm never going to get there. So respectfully, the point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You then
what's the point?
Go completely left because you feel, yeah, like, well, what? There's not. I don't care now. Like I'm never gonna make it. So if I'm not, yes, gonna make it, let me do all that I want to,
yeah,
do.
Yeah.
And that is a very dangerous place to be. So that,
yeah.
So I loved everything that you said, John. And I feel everything you said, it makes me smile, because it's like, wow, the condition that we had in terms of being Christians and the mindset that we had was out of fear.
Yes.
I was so petrified of God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I was terrified. I was terrified until I went to university and I met other Christians and I heard and understood different perspectives about God. I was fearful. I honestly thought, okay, me swearing and saying, you know, shit, I had to get on my knees, prostrate on the floor and be like, God, I'm so sorry. Do you get what I mean? Like it was to that level, instead of actually understanding that I didn't know God out of love, and I only knew God out of fear.
Mm.
And that's the relationship that I had with God before I went to university. Was I was scared of him. Mm. I was scared.
And because it wasn't, because they talk about like there's like a righteous fear of God,
yeah,
and like,
yeah,
the fear of God being the beginning of knowledge, like all those things. But that's right. But then there's this thing where it's like you're terrified,
yeah,
to the point where it's like, oh, I'm just like Livy said, it's like, oh, I'm never going to be good enough, so, you know. And then it's a whole condemnation thing constantly,
oh, yeah,
on you. It's, mm-hmm, never lifted to you. You never get, like, the joy of the Lord.
Never.
Basically.
You know, when you...
Which sounds really sad now, and I'm saying it out loud. You know, I'm like, wow,
we do,
sad,
we bust out some... When I say praise and worship in our church...
Litty.
Praise and worship in our church.
No one can chat to it.
I've never been to a place where praise and worship was...
Slaps.
To that... To that level, because you guys, they've heard us sing on the podcast as well.
Yeah.
You've heard us sing worship on
Facebook. We know the vibes.
Because there's nothing like it. But
yeah,
even in that, I feel when I look at myself now, when I was looking back, as a 27-year-old, looking at myself before I turned, you know, 20, 21, or before I went to university, I feel like I was just singing them songs because I was still scared. Do you get what I mean? But still... you know, do you get what I mean? Like, singing this praise song, like... But I was still scared. You know, talking about... What's the one that you used to sing in church?
Oh, like, one? A scary, like, one?
No, no.
No,
you
don't know,
the
do that.
Please, scary,
I get scared.
Not worship, like, I'm trying to go praise one. No, when you sing joy to the world, that one. Even though I'm bare singing, I'm just there, like...
On the inside, you're terrified.
Yeah,
you're shaking.
Scared. Yeah, scared. It's like, what's the point of me praising God?
But you know why I used to get scared? Because I thought, it's lit, but it's going to get scary in a second.
I always felt like
it's going to turn in a sec.
Pure deception. You'd walk in, like, everybody's smiling. Good morning, good morning, auntie, good morning, good morning. Sit there, good morning, brother, sister, whatever. Sing someone will pray, praise, hardcore praise.
Yeah.
Lit vibes.
And then,
dancing.
I said, oh, it's coming
you'd
soon,
see,
though.
You'd see my dad dancing down the aisles, because, you know, dancing out was lit, right? And all of a sudden, someone will pick a word, and then that's it. You're all going to hell.
That's enough.
You're all demons.
Right, let's sit down, then.
Right. And so me and I need to sit down and be like, okay, we don't want to be here anymore. It was mad. Do you get what I mean? It was, and that's
very
what it was
up
like.
And down.
Yeah, that's what it's like for us. So our relationships, our personal relationships with God would never, like, through and through, understanding actually who he was,
mm,
and understanding his love and understanding his grace to the point where, you know, we did things or we chose not to do certain things because we loved him.
Mm.
We chose not to do certain things because we were absolutely petrified. And I feel like living like that as a Christian,
it's not right.
I think I said exactly.
That's what it is. We've run out of speech.
Yeah. And so I said to you way back when, years ago, where I said, the whole idea of not having or feeling unworthy regarding God then made me feel unworthy regarding everything else in my life.
Yeah.
When I got a job, I felt, why do I even deserve this? So like, I don't know if I deserve this because I don't deserve God. So why do I deserve everything else? And that's the snowball effect that it had on my life. So I never felt, like I said, until I came to God made me come to university, definitely. And I know I'm just being like, but I definitely came to that university to be part of that university to meet the people that I've met and the family that I've met because it flipped me mad because I was able to actually understand God for me and actually his love and who he was. And it wasn't out of fear at all. But
no, for sure.
Sorry.
You know, the thing is, what's funny is that there's a verse in Revelation, I've forgotten where it is, where it talks about how in perfect love there is no fear. And I think the fear is supposed to bring, yes, you know, the knowledge of God. So it's like, okay, you understand that in this state of sin that I'm in, I am an enemy of God, unfortunately. That's where I stand because God is righteous, he's good, he's holy. He can only stand on that side. He can never enter evil that or this state in which I'm in. But the whole point of Christ is to say, you can't do it on your own. No one has ever done it on their own. If you look at the Old Testament, the Israelites failed every time. They'll do well, then they'll fail again. The whole point is that, yes, God is just, but he has given us Christ, he's given us his Holy Spirit, and we are supposed to lean on him and like hold on to him and be like, you're my strength. Because I remember when I gave my life to Christ, that was honestly what I realized, because I was just there like, I was just listening to all these messages, and similar in my church, they talk a lot about, you know, works and the things you need to do, all that kind of stuff, and I was just there like, I can't do it. Like this is never going to happen. And I was just like, God, you're gonna have to take control here. Like, it's gonna have to be you, because it can't be me, right? And that's the unfortunate thing, that we need to preach the fact that, you know, Christ is there for you, the Holy Spirit is there for you, and hold on to him, you'll be good.
Pastor, amen. Amen. praise, glory. So the other questions obviously that we had as well was, I think we've touched on that, is, will God always love us?
It's a hard question.
And
let's get it again.
It's a tough question, but I feel like in knowing Christ, yes. Because what was the sole purpose and point then of Christ dying and us then actually truly accepting Christ and knowing Christ and having a relationship with Christ? I think just for the pure like sacrifice, I think yes, God will always love us. Unless, like as we said beforehand, that he would, you know, we turn away from God, we don't believe anymore, we don't believe, or we choose not to know him. That's the only way that I can think that God wouldn't necessarily love us.
Because it does it not say, oh, is this a song? What could separate us from the love of God?
Amen.
Not me.
Here we go.
Because what actually can, though?
That's the question. Because you guys should see John's face. I swear you should see his
face. What's separate us from
it's because this question gets me going up and down. Because, of course, there is a whole the verse where it says, for God so loved
the world
that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. Yep, Christ, right? That's there. But again, I'm someone who I think maybe too much with the tenses, because, you know, obviously that's loved. And then we also have places where you find that God says, Jacob he loved, Esau he hated.
And I'm not going to lie, that one there actually really upsets me.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Sorry, where is that?
He hated Esau.
So that would be in Genesis. And then you
why though? Let me not.
You see, I think the thing is, it's difficult to understand God because obviously he's a sovereign being beyond time. So a lot of the things, like, for example, the Jacob and Esau one, you understand that because based upon the destiny and based upon what they were going to do in their lives in comparison.
Yeah. But
I think God loves everyone in order to give Christ, right? Because if you see from Genesis chapter 3, it already talks about, you know, Christ coming all the way from the beginning, right? So he already planned for there to be a way out for everyone, right? But the thing is that he offers that grace, but a lot of the times we reject it. Which, and if you are, it's difficult to say, because even if you're an enemy of God, since Christ says love those who hurt you, those who chastise you, all of that. Mm-hmm. So I think God still loves, yes, I would say God loves everyone. But mm-hmm. then, okay, I'll conclude on God. God loves everyone. But I would say the love doesn't remove God's justice. Because I think a lot of the times today, people want to say, if God loves me, then why is he sending me to hell? If God loves me, then why does this happen? But the thing is, there's justice as well. God is perfectly just, perfectly loving, right? The two things work mm-hmm. hand in hand, which means, you know, it can be difficult for us to understand because we want a free pass to heaven, you know? We want to do what we want and then get to heaven as much as well. But yeah, I think, okay, I'll conclude that God loves everyone, but I think... Yeah. He's also just, which means we will get what we deserve, essentially.
What we get.
Overall, in terms of our salvation.
In terms of salvation, yes. Yes.
I think that's a really good way of putting it. I think, again, just go back to what we've heard and stuff. I think that was always a contention of, does God love everyone? And we've heard quite a few times the answer is no. And it's quite no, full stop, I found anyway.
Yeah.
Not... an explanation, because to me it's quite a wild thing to say that God doesn't love everyone.
Yeah,
like you said, that doesn't mean that everyone, oh, God loves everyone, so everyone's gonna go to heaven, blah blah. I'm not saying that. What we're saying is that there is, I don't know, I just could never comprehend how he didn't love everyone, because then why did he give us a chance for salvation? Like, why did he reach out to us to be saved if he never first loved us?
Yeah.
That's always been my thing. And obviously, I was thinking about the Esau and Jacob thing, and I was thinking, that was before
Jesus Christ
came. Yeah. So I guess if he gave us Jesus, then it's because he loved us, no? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like it's one of them things that I've always said. It's always been a, no, he doesn't. And then that's been it. And I've always been like, but why though? Like, I need some sort of discussion, some sort of something to be like, why does he not love everyone?
People would say, how can he love us, since there are people around the world who don't know Christ, so they don't have the mm-hmm. opportunity.
But everybody has the opportunity.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, I only said that to kind mm-hmm. of correct a misconception that everyone has, which is that, if you don't know Christ, there's no opportunity. There's even a verse in the New Testament, I think it's in Romans, where it talks about, for those who have the law, it's unto them to follow it. Those who do not, they still have their conscience in order to follow as well. So there is an inclination for everyone, including the tribes that never heard of Christ, including the people before Christ, to know what is right to do. It says in scripture, it was like, for he who knows what is right and doeth it not, it is sin unto him. Mm-hmm. So if you know what is right and then you don't do it, it is sin unto you.
That's a bad
thing. Because that's the law in which you received. Do you get what I'm saying? So, yeah.
That's a bad thing. I really hope don't gas him up, because it'll go to that head of his. It will go to that big head of his. Everything you said is where we are. You can see us grinning and gassing because
it's late.
Because I've been in conversations with you and been in conversations with, you know, our wider university family and everything like that. Mm. But for people who are actually going to listen to this episode, they probably never heard it like this, or they probably never understood it, because, like, as me and Danny said, they've always just been told, you're going to hell, repent, God doesn't love everybody, etc. Mm. But the way that you put it and the things that you've said...
What can we say?
I have nothing to say, and it's good and it's right, and I feel like it's definitely given us some better understanding and better knowledge of... God, just a little thing has changed, and, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know what I'm trying to say, because it's good. That's what I'm trying to say. It's good. I don't think there's anything else. I hope that people who listen to this take it all in. I think the one thing I will say, that as much as you have listened to this episode and listened to the previous episodes as well, even with what John has said, what we've discussed and things we've shared, search it for yourself. That's one thing I always will take from universities, that they said, search the scriptures for yourself. Because even whatever pastor may be on stage and whatever performance they may be giving or whatever they're preaching about, yes, it may slap sometimes and convict your spirit and give you a different perspective and understanding, but the first thing you have to do is always go back to the word for yourself, so then you understand it for you. But also, if God gives you a different perspective or enlightens you in a different way, because it's not always, you shouldn't just be a yes person sat there sitting duck. And that's the one thing that used to annoy us, is because we would then face, not confrontation, but, you know, people would not necessarily be happy because we would question certain things instead of sitting there and just being like, yes to everything, whatever pastor was saying or preacher was saying at the front. And it's not supposed to be like that. So even with everything that's been said in this episode, find it for yourself, seek it for yourself. What is it, Matthew 6:3? Seek first the kingdom of God and everything shall be. Is that not the right context? Never mind. Seek God in everything you do. Go and look for it for yourself.
And discuss with each other as well. Like, it's good to have people that you can kind of ask questions. Oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Obviously, everything is down to interpretation. And, you know, like I said, sometimes what you've been taught can cloud what you think. But be open to discussions with other people in the faith who are actually like, oh, actually, this is what I've got, this revelation of this and blah, blah. Yeah. And then, like Libby said, take it away. Speak to God, wait for yourself, and then take it from there. But it is so important to not just take everything in and take everything in, like when you're in a church setting, and just agree with everything, because that's not it. You have to actually understand it for yourself, and not just be saying yes, because it doesn't make no sense.
And the final thing I want to ask John before, because I know that you know, he has fellowship now. He's part of like 5 billion fellowships. you know, one that actually that we owed a lot in the uni can't be a part of, you know, Gen 1, you lot man are listening, we're not been invited to this fellowship. Anyway, it's what it is, you know, them babies want to do what they need to do. Final question before we wrap up. What do you enjoy most about being a Christian?
Ooh, nice. For me, it is fellowship with... This is going to sound so cliche, but honestly, this is the truth.
It is. Fellowship, it is.
Fellowship with God. An unexplainable joy. When I mean, I can't explain it, because even if I'm in the worst of circumstances, I know God is with me, right? And I'm at right with him. The way I always see it is that if I make a laptop and my laptop starts making toast, it's not fulfilling purpose. And if it now listens to my instructions, it will fulfill purpose. And I believe the joy in which I have in God is because I'm seeking after his knowledge, his wisdom, right? And the way he wants me to live my life since he created me, right? And that's why I get this joy. And I honestly advise anyone, you know, please come to Christ. Honestly, there's an unbelievable level of joy, peace, grace, harmony that comes with that. And listen, he's got the instruction booklet to your life, and that's where the joy comes from. So that's why I enjoy peace.
Glory. Love it. Glory. And the reason why I say glory is because that's John's phrase, one of his phrases he likes to say, glory. Thank you. John, very much, bro. Very much appreciate you being on this episode, being a part of this podcast, finally being here. He was dying and begging to be on it, guys.
No, inviting me. Wow.
He's very upset he hasn't had an early invitation. Were you here now? There's a purpose for everything, and the reason why, you know, you're on it now is for this reason. God obviously makes a way when there seems to be no way, and if it means getting on a popular podcast, you know.
you won't plug.
No. Oh, my bad. Yeah, sorry. You know, you can plug yourself in it. John is a man of many talents and many skills. Plug yourself. Tell them what you do, and tell them obviously what you have, because he is another podcaster.
not yak.
Well, just started a podcast. And it's called The Truth We Know, no spaces, on Spotify and all the platforms you want to find it on. And the whole idea behind it, honestly, is actually just talking about day-to-day topics, you know, things that we all battle with, but from a Christian perspective, and trying to see what scripture actually says about it, not what your pastor said or what you may have heard online. Do you get me? Actually look at scripture and let that be the guide. So, and it's lighthearted. It's not like, oh, verses and all that, but that's what the podcast is about. So
it's lit. We'll be sure to repost it, and we'll obviously put a link to it as well when we tweet, but we'll repost it on Instagram so you can go and listen as well, and make sure you go and stream and support. Well, that's it, guys. John, thank you very much again. I said it before, very much appreciate you for being on this episode. Thank you to everybody that's listened and that's been tuning into the Church Hurt series. I know last week was very emotional. I hope this week was very insightful. And obviously rounding off next week.
round it off.
I'm gonna let you guys know, because we don't have a guest next week. It's just gonna be me and Danny.
Yeah.
And we're gonna, it's gonna be lighthearted. It is gonna be episode 4 of Church Hurt series.
Rounding
it. We're gonna tell you anything that we're doing, because we don't tell you until you listen. But yeah, we're gonna round it off with just me and
we're
Danny.
We're gonna pray for an hour straight.
We're gonna fast. You know, we might have to get some oil and purple cloths.
Mm. We're actually gonna.
I would be slain.
You might have to be slain. The whole episode's actually gonna be.
The whole episode is basically gonna be a church service, and then we're gonna slain each other. Can you imagine? The thing is, nah, I can't. Anyway, I'm gonna tell you what we're gonna talk about, but we're gonna talk about some fun stuff to do with church and what we experienced. But yeah, thank you for listening. Make sure you stay tuned for next week's episode. Goodbye.
Bye.